All right. I want to read this out of our daily bread. Our daily bread, if you don't know what that is, we have some little devotionals out there on the table called Our Daily Bread, and you can use those each day to do your quiet time with God, read through it, and it usually has scriptures. But anyhow, there was this story about a young girl who accepted Christ as her Savior and Lord and wanted to become a member of the church she was attending. So the question was asked, were you a sinner before you received the Lord Jesus into your heart? An old deacon asked, just seeing if she's a Christian. She said, yes, sir. Well, are you still a sinner? He asked. To tell you the truth, I feel like I'm a greater sinner than ever. Then what real change have you experienced? I don't quite know how to explain it, she said, except that I used to be a sinner running after sin, but now that I'm saved, I'm a sinner running from sin. And, you know, I look at that, and I imagine you have found yourself feeling kind of the same way as this young lady. Unfortunately, there are times in our life where we go beyond that lesson that this girl seemed to grasp so well, and at times we may no longer be running from sin, but not running to Christ either. And then even more unfortunately, there are times we allow sin in because we momentarily think it will fill a need in our lives outside of God, which inevitably it never does. Paul counters this because we who want to be those who run from sin need to remember the question, why? We are running away with all of our might. So let's read the scripture together today. I'm going to read the white and you'll read the yellow. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having been understanding darkness, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness. Okay, next slide. Thank you. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard of him and have been taught by him, the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. All right. Now, if you're new, I'm preaching through the letter to the Ephesians. We're in the fourth chapter. We're actually looking at verse 17 through 24. Now, I've heard some of you complain to me that I take too long in one verse. Okay, well, look up here. We've got a whole group, okay? So you win on this one. I'm just kidding. I want to break this down so that we can really grasp what Paul's saying to us. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. And when he says testify in the Lord, he's just saying, look at guys, this is inspired, this is from God, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Now what he means is the unsaved Gentile. In the futility, the emptiness, the uselessness of their mind, 18, having their understanding darkened, unable to perceive is what it means, being alienated, becoming a stranger from the life of God because of the ignorance, the unknowingness that is in them, because of the blindness, the stubbornness, the hardness of their heart. 19. Who being past feeling, and I mean like we would say being past feelings, which means callous, past the ability to feel shame, having given themselves over to lewdness, debauchery, moral restraint, sexual sin, to work all uncleanness, moral impurity, and is another word for sexual sins, with greediness, acquiring more and more than others have. 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed, and any time you say the word, see the words in the Bible, if indeed, it's two words in Greek, and it really actually means since, okay? Since you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you, having put off already concerning your former conduct, the old man, we put off the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now listen, when Paul is talking about the old man, and there's a zillion theories in Bible land about this, what he is saying is you have put off the old man, which is your old sin person, before you were in Christ and he changed your life. And it's changed, hasn't it? Hasn't your life changed since you've come to Christ? Okay, I just want to know you're there. Okay? And you know it because you're a new creation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that you're a new creation, chapter 5. 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and the way it's structured, it is a serious command, and you must be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I am so sad that they didn't put it in that way when they translated it. You must be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's not saying, by the way, you might think about renewing your mind if nothing else has worked for you. Okay? He's not saying that. He's saying you must be renewed in the mind. And so he's given us wise command here, because if we don't renew our minds each and every day, we head in problems and have tough times in our Christian life, and you know it and I know it, right? Man, I can feel it. If I go one day without reading my Bible and praying because I come in and there's too much going on or that kind of thing, oh man, do I feel crusty right off the bat. How about you? 23. Again, and you must be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you, having already put off the new man, having already put on the new man, this new creation, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holy. It's right there. You are recreated in the likeness of God, and it's in true holiness and true righteousness. In fact, Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, when I say that, you might be saying to yourself, well, you know, Steve, I love all those words, and I know that the Bible says I put on a new man, but somehow I still have sin in my life, and sometimes I have a hard time controlling it. That's true if we don't renew our minds. The old man habits come storming back. You know, somehow we're still attracted to that old man that Christ put to death on the cross, and we were put on the cross. I mean, positionally, we were put on the cross, buried with him, and we rose again with him to newness of life. We're a new creation. But somehow, it becomes a little bit comfortable to head back and mimic that old man in us. And yet, at the same time, doesn't it feel repulsive when you do that? Because when I think about this, we're not even close to what that old man was when you stop to think about it. The problem is our hearts have changed, and we've become so sensitive as Christians that the moment we start to act like that old man, we feel like we've totally fallen off the edge. Our antennas go up, and the mere taste of that old life makes us want to run for cover. It's like the old proverb says, the dog returns to its vomit. Do you remember that one? And so we go back there and it's vomit, right? Especially to us who know Christ. And the old life wants to make us run for cover and fold our hands and be held captive if that's the way we feel, because we haven't renewed our mind like Paul tells us when he says, this is a testimony to God. Renew your mind. So how do we renew and transform the spirit of our mind? Well, let's turn to Romans 12, 1. If you have your Bibles, I want you to follow along in your Bibles here. We have it up here, but I want you to look at it in print if you have your Bibles with you. And I think he tells us about renewing our mind, about that creepy way of life under the old man, and he tells us how to crush that spirit and stay in Christ, okay? Verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies, and by that he means the compassion, the sensitivity, the tender mercy of God, that you present, you make available, you offer, and it says that you offer our, or you offer your body, I'm just going to put it to you, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which means well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, your logical, your thoughtful service. And do not be conformed, do not shape your behavior to this world, but be transformed. And in the Greek, the word is the same word that we get metamorphosis from, when you go from a worm to a caterpillar. But be transformed by how? By the renewing. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, and by that prove means to test and approve by examination and come out positive, what is that good and acceptable or well-pleasing or and perfect, which means complete, will, the desire of what God wants. So let's start with these thoughts. Resurrender. Nonconformance, reckoning yourself dead to sin, and then renewal, transformation. Let's start with re-surrender, a living sacrifice. Renewal begins by offering ourselves to the Lord. It takes conscious, deliberate effort to present ourselves to the Lord by disciplining ourselves to renew our minds. Paul urges us to present our bodies a living sacrifice every day, to resurrender, to resubmit. I don't know what word you use, but it's very easy to go to the Word and read and not be submitted, isn't it? Because we're hanging on to some things. To realign your mind, your will, and your emotions with the purpose of God. And when I say that, I know a lot of you are thinking, well, I don't have 2 hours. I don't think it takes 2 hours. I think it takes just a quiet time of spending a little time in the Word and listening to God in your life and the conviction. You may do it in different ways than me. I love to journal. You may want to do it entirely different. Now, let me give you an illustration. The shortest war on record was fought between Britain and Zanzibar, which is now part of Tanzania on the east side of Africa, on August 27th, 1896. A huge British fleet issued an ultimatum to the Sultan of Zanzibar, then followed 38 minutes of bombardment before the badly mismatched Sultan surrendered. It took 38 minutes for the Sultan's heart to completely transform. 38 minutes. So if a battle can transform a Sultan in 38 minutes, what can the Word of God do in your life in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes? It can happen in a short time. That's where you start. And if we surrender to God and allow Him to change our hearts and life by renewing our mind every morning, Listen, every morning that I come in, and you may think, well, Steve, you got the time, you're a pastor. And oh, it doesn't work that way. Life does not work that way. I'll come in every morning to Harvest, and I'll sit down at my desk, and I have the decision. And if I hit my shift key and my computer comes up, it's email time, right? So I don't do that. I try to protect myself from the thousands. No, I'm just kidding. The emails. And I protect myself from looking at my inbox. And I protect myself from listening if people are there. I just shut my door and I look at it and I think, I pull my Bible. In fact, usually on the night, evening before, I put my journal and my Bible on my desk so I won't forget. All right, because I've got to get into the Word. I've got to read it. Yes, I spend all day in the Word doing a sermon and Bible studies and all that kind of thing. But to me, that's not what counts. What counts is my private time with God. And I need to read that Word and meditate on it. And then I write down and journal my prayers. And a lot of you I've taught and other of you know that I write from God's perspective, and I put down Dear Steve, and I write down what I think God's telling me so that I have perfect listening ears, because I'm not a great listener normally. You know, I'm just going 100 miles an hour. Do you relate to that? Okay. And I can't go a day without it. I can't. Every time I do that, I start getting crusty. I'm not renewed. I start feeling kind of yucky. And finally, I think, wait a minute, close the door, get out my journal, get out my Bible, and start reading and meditating on it. And when I choose to do other things first, I get overloaded and the stress becomes hard. But when I do that, it seems like the day goes easy. Now, have you found that too? I've heard a lot of you guys tell me that same thing. When I renew my heart, things seem to resolve. But when they don't, I'm absorbed. And I always have more than one thing going on in my head. Because then I have to play God with my issues instead of leaving them to God. Number two, nonconformance to the world. Trusting in the world for our answers, for happiness, and leaving God out of the situation, and it takes us right to the bottom. Nonconformance. You know, Paul says that we need to reckon ourselves dead to the old desires. And you know, when he uses the word reckon, he means put it on the ledger. Just like an accounting ledger. Put it on there. You're dead to sin. And then live it as though we're dead to sin. And then we can use the Spirit's power. Too many of us allow those old desires to be fed. And all Christ told us to do is to renew our mind. He tells us who we are in Christ. And the biggie here is likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 6. Realizing that in spite of how you feel when you're tempted and your temptation has you bite the throat, it actually doesn't. It actually doesn't. It's attitude. In fact, you count it as dead. And then three, renew and replace with what God's will says. Be transformed. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 5 with me, verse 17 in your Bibles. I want you to look at this with me. I'm going to just explain a little bit about it. Chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. By that he means the desire of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, and it means a behavior which slowly tears us down and has consequences, a senselessness, a recklessness. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, problem is, in the Greek, it's a very simple phrase, and we could put with, by, or for. Those three words in there. And so the authors chose to be filled with the Spirit, but you know what? We already have the Spirit, don't we? I think what Paul's saying here is be filled by the Spirit. With what? Well, let's look at Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. In other words, you can have as much of it as you want. That's what we're filled with. And how are we filled and not conformed? How are we filled and know what the will of God is? Well, verse 19 starts out, and you noticed I have some words underlined there. Now, I'm going to give you a language principle. Can you go back one? Okay. All the ing words I have underlined are called participles. Do you remember what participles are in the English language? If you do, you're amazing. All right? I could never remember what participles were in English because they're kind of hard to figure out. But boy, when you go to Greek, they're very clear. And so it says speaking, singing, making melody, giving thanks, submitting, all have to be done before the action of the verb. Does that make sense? All those things have to be done before the verb can happen, being filled by the Spirit. So what Paul's doing is telling this is how you are filled by the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Isn't that what we were just doing a few minutes ago in worship? Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And we've talked about this before. A while back, you know, sometimes, have you ever thought about just making up your own spiritual song and singing it to the Lord? Have you ever done that? Man, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty fun. I think that when you do that, there's more impact than that, than just singing other songs, even though you have a lot. But, you know, a lot of times you can be driving along in your car and you're going, Lord, I love you because you love me first, or whatever it may be, and you just make it up. And but be careful, because when you get to a stop sign or stoplight, people think you're pretty weird. Believe me, I've experienced that. Okay. Singing and making melody in your heart, the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You realize that if you are giving thanks always, it's hard to have a bad attitude. It's hard to have a bad attitude. And so giving thanks makes us return to God, was His. And then the last one is submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Giving preference to, loving on someone, them first before us. Those three verses fill us with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Isn't that what you want? Man, you guys are so quiet. Isn't that what you want? Okay, now are you just saying yeah because I'm making you say yeah? Or would you really like love? Would you really like joy? How about peace? Yeah. How about a long-term patience? Yeah. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, okay, gentleness, when you love self-control. And that's the biggie on there, isn't it? Love and self-control. And that's what we're filled with. Now let me close with I wanted to talk about transformation, but understanding that when I get done here, we're not quite closing out because the band's going to come back up and play a worship song. We have communion at the tables over there, the juice and the bread, and what we want you to do during that song is to get up and go get those things and bring them back to your chair so that we can share the Lord's Supper together. Transformation, that's what the Christian life is about. Now let's say we buy a motorhome, okay? So now we can look at our new motorhome. It's brand new, man, it's exciting, and we want to travel and see things. So the motorhome allows us to put all the conveniences of home on wheels, right? And so the camper that usually camps in a tent, or we no longer need that. We don't have to contend with a sleeping bag anymore. Cooking over a fire or hauling water from the stream. Now we can park a fully equipped home on a cement slab in the midst of pine trees and hook up to the water line, the sewer line, and electricity. And you can even attach a satellite dish to the top so that you can watch your favorite TV programs. And so there's no more bother with dirt. There's no more bother with smoke from the fire. No drudgery of walking to the stream. And now it's possible to go camping and never go outside. So nothing really changes. Now I'm not picking on anybody that has a motorhome because you don't really do that. But you're following me, right? Nothing really changes. I mean, maybe we drive to a new place and set ourselves in new surroundings, but the newness goes unnoticed because we have everything at our fingertips and we carried along our old setting. Listen, the adventure of a new life in Christ begins when the comfortable patterns of that old man are left behind. Do you hear me this morning? When we let go, the adventure begins. As we participate in the Lord's Supper, one of the things in 1 Corinthians that Paul talks about is examining our hearts. And this morning, as we're worshiping and as we go get our bread and juice and come back and sit in our chairs for a few moments, will you examine your heart? Will you examine your heart? Am I daily spending time with God? And as a result of that, am I loving the people around me? Or am I dragging that old man that's dead around, dragging it like an old anchor along because somehow I think I still have faith in that old anchor? Will you do that? Examine your hearts this morning and then let's re-surrender our life this morning together. Re-surrender. Give it back to God. I don't care where you are. I don't care how deep in sin you are. Let's re-surrender this morning. Amen? Let's re-surrender. And he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And let's remember him this morning. Then he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup represents the new covenant, which is actually the forgiveness of our sins through his blood. When you drink this," he says, "do this in remembrance of me, and let's remember our Lord today." You may have come this morning and you may not even have a relationship with God, and you hear all this thing about the mind of Christ, you hear all this stuff, and it may even seem a little bit confusing. And maybe you came just looking for that relationship. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And your sins can be forgiven right now at this moment. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if I'm talking to you, my friend, I'm going to pray a little prayer. We're all going to pray together, for you who already know Christ, you pray for those who don't, okay? And for you who don't, and you want to make that decision today, just I'm going to pray a little prayer and you pray along with me, and the prayer goes like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, like that verse said, and that obviously you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. While our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, will you just raise your hand up and put it back down? Let God know you meant business today. Just raise your hand up and put it back down. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Father, we are so grateful. So grateful. That's one of the things that you said fills us by your Spirit with all of the fruits of the Spirit is being thankful. And we are thankful. We're thankful for every breath. We're thankful for what you do in our lives. We're thankful that we have someone to go to. And Lord, I just pray that today, those who raise their hand, if they raise their hand, that they'll seek us out. And so that we can help them get started. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will fill up their heart right now. That they know their life has changed just like our life has changed. And may you be glorified in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.